Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And the week got off to another bumpy start for Facebook. Shares in the social media company plunged this morning after the Federal Trade Commission confirmed it's investigating how the company deals with customer data. The investigation follows the news that data from 50 million users got into the hands of the British consulting firm Cambridge Analytica. And now there's another controversy. Over the weekend, some users found out Facebook has been collecting text message and phone call data from their Android devices. Joining us now is Derek Thompson. He's senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, it's nice to have you back.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So here we are talking about Facebook again. What's the latest controversy over this text message and phone data?
So following the Cambridge Analytica scandal, people started downloading the data that Facebook had on them. They started clicking into their Facebook accounts and downloading the full data files to see exactly what Facebook could see. And one man who did this, a man named Dylan McKay from Wellington City, New Zealand, he downloaded his data and he found that Facebook had information on his calls with his partner's mother. So with a little bit more spelunking in the caves of Facebook data, it turns out that Facebook has been getting access to contacts, to text data, to call history, maybe even to call times on Android phones specifically. This doesn't seem to be happening on Apple phones. It seems to be Android, that is Google phones, explicitly or exclusively, I should say.
And why? What are they doing with that data?
Yeah, well, it seems that Facebook was getting this data legally, and they were getting it to make their product better. To make the product better, you could say, for users so that they could distinguish between weak ties, close ties, best friends, business contacts. That could help them sort the newsfeed better. It could help them sort the friendships better. And you could also argue, as we saw in the Cambridge Analytica scandal, that this is also about advertising, that this is about Facebook giving away data about users to potential advertisers so that advertisers can target particular demographics more effectively on Facebook than they can in other media, like even Google or certainly maybe print or radio or television. And this, after all, was Facebook's whole business model. This was their existential case for being. It was the idea that in no other place in the world could advertisers know with more granular detail who they were reaching. And so in many ways, these tiny scandals that which are sort of snowballing and become big scandals, they're not just about one data policy or one contract policy. They really go to the heart of what Facebook is, why it's valuable, and why people use it.
So maybe more trouble here for Facebook to try to work out. CEO Mark Zuckerberg took out apology ads in several newspapers this weekend because of the Cambridge Analytica scandal, nothing to do with this one that we've just been talking about. Are people satisfied that Facebook is trying to take meaningful steps to stop something like this from happening again, although it seems to be happening again?
It happens again and again and again. Yeah, I'll talk to you next week about the next scandal. It's hard to say, are people satisfied? Because Facebook has hundreds of millions, if not billions, of users. It has potentially, it itself is a kind of virtual nation state. And you can sort of sort this virtual nation state into three categories. There are people who aren't following the scandal. They simply don't know that it exists, number one. Number two, there are people who are following the scandal but don't really care. Maybe they say, you know what? I knew Facebook was doing stuff like this. I knew that when you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And Facebook, like all sorts of other apps and digital services, had a bunch of data on me and my online activity. And I don't really care. I don't look at the contract language. It's just not for me. That's group number two. And then there's group number three. Group number three is the group that knows about the scandals and cares about the scandals. And it does seem to me, at least anecdotally, that group number three is growing by the week. You can see this not only sort of looking at a tiny segment of that world on my sort of Twitter feed or on my Facebook news feed, but also you can see growing momentum, I think, among news organizations covering what seems to be a burgeoning blowout.
Oh, my question about that is, and you hinted at it, with this, 2 billion users across the world are using Facebook. Do they care if a couple hundred thousand of them, or even a couple million of them in the United States, decide they're fed up?
This is the way that I think about it, and my thoughts here are evolving by the week and by the day as these scandals morph into new scandals or developing scandals. As I said before, for the longest time, we've known if you're not paying for the product, you are the product, right? That's a cliche. It's so widely known. Nobody cared that they were the product when the product was Farmville, when the product was dating apps, when the product was weather apps. No one cared that they were the product. But right now, the product seems to be democracy. The product is a shared sense of reality in the Western world. The product might be, you know, the threats or accusations of a stolen election by Donald Trump. And once the stakes are that high, people care that they're the product.
And that is why we will keep talking to you about it. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.